All right, I think we'll get started. Everyone's ready. I'm ready too. Okay. I'm Carrie. For those of you that don't know me, I moved to Stockton in April of last year, so I've lived here for almost a year. I live about 2 blocks away from here, in a big old historic home with some other people, in the reality body. It's just really sweet. And I originally grew up, was born and raised in San Mateo, the Bay Area, and then went off to college, went to UCLA, so I was down in LA. For 4 years, I was part of the body of Reality LA in Los Angeles, and then felt the Lord stir my heart for Stockton, got connected with people up here, and moved up here in April of last year. So that's kind of my story. I'll talk a little bit more about it probably when we go through some of this stuff. But just wanted to kind of just, you guys have all been at lunch and I was too, and just kind of go back into, just our framework for what, just this conference is about, and just how last night Josh started with creation and just that we are created in the image of God and we are created, just in his likeness and to display his glory and his splendor. And then because of the fall, that image has been marred. So that image is messed up and we do not represent correctly the glory of God as it should be always. And how Jesus has come on the scene and with the blood of Jesus that we can be continually made into that image and continually redeemed. And so that redemption by the blood of Jesus, and then complete restoration eventually when we'll be restored to that image that we are created to be, and we will see Jesus as he is and not as our messed up heads so often see him, and it will just be amazing. So I'm just stoked on the story of God, and I'm stoked to be here with you guys right now. And today, I want to look at Psalm 27, so if you guys want to get out your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 27, and we're just going to read through the whole thing. So we're just looking at Psalm 27, and I'll just begin. All right. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though a war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord. Just pray with me. Father God, Lord, I ask your spirit to just fall upon this place, God, that you would just teach us right now, God. Lord, I have nothing to offer, God, but I know that you are good, Lord, and that you love each one of these women, God, and so I pray, God, that your spirit would come and would teach us, God, and that we would just fall more in love with you, Jesus, and just the majesty and splendor of who you are, God. And so we just give you this time, Lord, and just ask you to come, Lord. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. When they asked me to speak, it was kind of open. Womanhood kind of is a, you know, open topic. I'm like, all right, let's see. It's funny because I've had a lot of people come up to me and be like, so you're going to talk about how woman is to be a helper for man. But the first thing is that we are created in the image of God. And so very first thing is that we're the Lord's. It's not about our marital status, and it's not about where we live, what we do, but we belong to the Lord first and foremost. We are created in His image, and so that's kind of where we fit into the story of God, and how the story of God just really fits into our lives. So just looking at verse 1-3, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foe, it is they who stumble and fall." So this is a psalm of David, and David's just exclaiming his confidence in the Lord, which to me is just so sweet, because I know how prone my heart is to just come into the Lord's presence and to just say, and I suck, and la 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 la, and just have everything be about me. And just how we were talking about, how Dave was talking about this morning, just that inwardly bentness of sin, and how we are just so geared towards ourselves and towards making everything about ourselves. And we do that when we enter into the presence of God. And so it's so necessary for us to realize the gospel in our own lives and to come into the presence of God, not looking at ourselves, but looking upon Jesus and what He did. And so I just love how David enters in and he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And he's talking about an army encamping against him. And he's like, "No, I'm not going to fear. Like, I'm confident." And he's just so confident in what the Lord's going to do. And I feel like that's so not often, at least how I am, as just a woman or just a person in general. I'm just like, and my situation's really sucky right now. Like, and I kind of hate my life. Like, and Jesus, you need to fix it. So perfect. Like, but just then realizing, coming before the Lord with everything that He is, not everything that we are, because it's not about us. It's about Him. We've been brought out of darkness into light by the blood of Jesus so that we can know Him. Not so that we can be preeminent, but that we can make Him preeminent. And so that's why I'm just stoked on Hebrews 4:16, where it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." And we can come before the Lord with confidence, and we can come and lay everything at His feet because of what Jesus has done. And so that's what's so sweet about the gospel, is it doesn't rest upon us, it doesn't rest upon our own merit, but we can be confident in what the Lord has done. And we're not sufficient in ourselves. That's kind of the point of the gospel. Like, we can't do this on our own. And so that's why we go to the Lord and we say He is everything. And so that changes what we do on a daily basis. That changes the way that we wake up in the morning and the way that we go about everything that we do. And so I know when I wake up in the morning, I usually have 10 million things going on in my head. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I have so much to do today. Like, I could wear this outfit, but I don't know if it's going to fit because I gained a little weight last week because I ate too many baked goods. Like, just like all these thoughts in my head, and then just being like, stop. Stop. Like, who has the Lord made you to be? And just that we were created in His image for His glory. And it's just, it's not about us. And it's just so easy to get so wrapped up in so many other things besides the Lord. And I love using this analogy. Just go with me on this one. Have you guys seen 50 First Dates? Okay. So Drew Barrymore, Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore is in a car accident, and she has this problem where she can't remember anything when she wakes up every day. She just remembers from the time before her car accident, and that's all she remembers. So she doesn't remember anything after. And so she wakes up, and meanwhile, Adam Sandler falls in love with her and wants to, like, marry her. And she wakes up and has no idea who he is every day. And so he makes her a videotape and has her watch it every morning. And some days it works better than others, right? Some days she's freaking out, like lashing out, like, who are you? Get away from me. Like, and then other days she's just like, oh my gosh, I love this man. Like, he's amazing. And I just feel like that's so how we are as women. Like, we wake up in the morning and we don't remember the promises of God. Like, we wake up in the morning and we need to be reminded of this God that has pursued us with his love. And we so often just forget who God is and forget how big he is and how infinite his love for us is. And so I know practically for me, one thing that I do when I get up in the morning is read my Bible. And I've also just made note cards where, like, they just exclaim the love of God on them, and I read them in the morning, and I read them like to myself and preach it to myself, basically, because we're so easy and so prone to forget. We're so prone to wander from who God has designed us to be. And that's why it says, like, in the book of Deuteronomy, remember, 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 like, and it doesn't say remember because they are just whatever. It says remember because they're so prone to forget. And that's why it says, do this when we take communion, do this in remembrance of me, because we're prone to forget, and we're prone to forget what God and what Christ has done ultimately on our behalf. And I know when I'm just going to read off some scriptures to you guys that I just have to, like, the past 2 weeks have just been so hard for me. And just for a lot of different reasons, but just been so hard. And I've had to wake up every morning and just read this passage. It's from Lamentations 3, and it says, my soul is bereft of peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And just feeling every day like, where is my hope? Like, it's just been hard. And then just coming before the Lord and being like, but your steadfast love never ceases, and your mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. And that's why I can get through today, is because your mercies are new every morning. And the Lord is my portion, not whatever I have on my plate for that day. The Lord is my portion. So it doesn't matter what I go through, because I still have Jesus. At the end of the day, we just still have the Lord. Like, how amazing is that? I think we so often take that for granted. And then as David goes on in Psalm 27, it says, one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And I just get so struck every time I read this verse, because David says, one thing have I asked of the Lord. And so often, I have way more than one thing. I got a grocery list going on. Like, it's not my one thing most of the days to just say, I just want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Like, one thing that David's asking. And it's in the original language, in the Hebrew, it's the culmination, it's the collection of everything that David could ask. That one, the idea of that one, it's the first. It's the collection of just everything that he could ask. And so that's his one thing. But I think so often we make everything else our one thing. And I even did this when I moved to Stockton because I really felt like the Lord was calling me here, and I really wanted the Lord to continue to confirm that in my heart. And so every day I would just pray, like, Lord, like, if this is your will, just continue to confirm it. And I sought the Lord for Stockton. I didn't seek the Lord for who he was. And that's a very small distinction, but we do it so often. Like, just with every decision, we want to seek the Lord in those decisions, and we want to honor him, and so we come before. But in the process, we miss the Lord. And so I think so often, like, and I love that in David's situation, he's not saying, like, all these people are crazy and they're coming against me in this army and, like, he's not petitioning the Lord saying, like, do this right now, like, you need to protect me and all this stuff, but he's coming to the Lord with everything that the Lord is, and he's saying, Jesus, I just want to be in your presence. I don't even care that there's a freaking army coming against me. Like, I just want to dwell before you. And that's all that matters. But so often in our hearts, and I know in my life, we make something else that one thing. And I just, that's one, like, that is one thing I want to challenge you guys with, as stupid as that sounds. But just, what are you making your one thing besides the Lord? And it's funny, too, because David goes on and he starts freaking out a little bit, and he's like, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious, and all this stuff. And then at the end, he realizes again, like, his confidence is in the Lord. And he says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. And so he starts going off and he starts freaking out a little bit, and then he brings it back in, and he brings him back, his self back. And it's not him, because it's the Lord doing it. Amen. I'm not bringing myself anywhere. But he's brought back to who the Lord is, and that's what's so sweet. And then he's brought back to that confidence that he has before, and he says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. So he catches himself. And I think so often we let our minds wander a little too far. Anyone with me? I don't know. But I'm all like, oh man, I have this and this and this and this. And this person didn't say hi, so maybe they don't like me. And all of these things in my head. And the Lord asks us, like, take captive your thoughts. I love that 2 Corinthians 10:5-6 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And so we see it with David. He goes off and kind of trails off, and then he gets caught and he remembers who the Lord is. So we take captive those thoughts. We're stealing those thoughts and aligning them to who Christ is. And we have to do that. Let's see. And so back to verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And David's not asking just for a little nugget from the Lord. He's not asking for a little, fast food or something, take it and leave it, you know. He's asking to dwell, and I just love that word. He just wants to live in the presence of God. And I just love how Matthew Henry in his commentary says, all God's children desire to dwell in their Father's house, not to sojourn there as a wayfaring man, to tarry but for a night, or to dwell there for a time only, as the servant abides not in the house forever, but to dwell there all the days of their life as children with a father. And so just that idea that we just want to make Jesus our home, like our resting place. And I have to be honest too, I'm going to get my phone so I can see the time. I so often have made other things my resting place. And when I went to college and I went to LA almost 5 years ago now, I came home. I would come home every so often, And home was just such a sweet place. I was born and raised in the same place. We lived in the same house with my mom. She's still living in the same house. She still does live there. And it was just a sweet place to come home to. And I don't know if you've ever moved away and then just gone back. And there's just a sweetness about the place that you've left and that you're going back to. And this past year, as I've lived in Stockton, I've been closer to home than I have in the last 5 years. And home has not been a restful place. Home has not been a refuge just for so many reasons. But it just seems like a disaster every single time when I go home, just some sort of whatever happens. And I was driving back to Stockton one time and just realizing, I'm like, dang it, like, home's not that refuge that I once thought it was. Like, it's not that sweet place anymore. And just being, like, bummed about it. And then the Lord is like, Carrie, like, wake up. I am your refuge. I am your dwelling place. I am everything. Stop looking for it in things of this world, because we so often, we're created in the image of God. We're created for worship. But because of the fall, we make it all about us, and we make it about finding those things in this world and finding those comforts and whatever it may be. We want our own God, and we want it on our terms. We don't want who God is. Our eyes are veiled, and then Jesus comes, and he says he's everything. And that's what's so amazing about the gospel. And then what's so sweet is, moving on, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so as we just sit there and we just gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that changes us. And I don't know, but that's just such a freeing idea to me, like, that we can just sit there and we just sit before the Lord and we don't have to do anything. Like, I think our minds are so consumed with just doing things that that's just such a freeing idea to just sit there. And that is what changes us, that the Lord sanctifies us. He makes us holy and he conforms us back to that image, as he created us to be, and eventually we'll reach that full restoration. But that redemptive process where the Lord is just continually molding us and shaping us and bringing us back to that image bearer that we are designed for, to display his glory and his splendor. And we don't have to do anything. Like, oh my gosh. I feel like we so take that for granted. Like, I'm just like blown away by that. Just, we can just sit before the Lord and I don't have to do anything, and Jesus did everything. And it's just, it's amazing. And so I love the story of Anna in Luke 2:37-38, where she's just, she didn't depart from the temple after she was a widow, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so it's just this woman that has just spent time in the temple just before the Lord. And the Lord has just revealed, like, this is time. This is time for Jesus, the redemption of the world, the redeemer of the world to come. And I just feel like that's what the Lord does. When we just spend time in his presence, he speaks to us. And then we don't have to go petition him for like 20 million things, because he just speaks to us and he's our provider. And that's why we can say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord just provides every single thing that we need. And we don't have to petition him for anything. And so that's just been such a real thing I just want to share too, like, with me in my life. And I felt the Lord calling me up to Stockton in the summer of 2009. And around the same time, I felt the Lord stirring my heart just for this guy. And I don't want to make this about some romantic fairy tale, because it's really not. And and just feeling those two things as almost conflicting. But then sitting in the presence and knowing that the Lord is faithful. And so moving on the Lord's faithfulness and moving to Stockton and leaving this guy that I thought maybe I would marry down in LA and being like, okay, like, Lord, I know that you're faithful, but what about right now? Because I don't think that you're faithful right now. And that's what Romans 1 exactly is telling us, that we exchange the truth of who God is for the lie. And we say, oh no, you're not faithful in my situation right now, because my situation just seems way bigger than... And we forget the glory and the majesty of the gospel, and that Jesus was this... is the savior of the world that was promised from the beginning. And he came, and the Lord is so faithful in that. And I can't imagine Anna's joy when Jesus came on the scene, and it's just like such a beautiful thing. And the Lord is so faithful. And so I moved to Stockton, and the Lord provided a place for me to live. He provided friends. He provided just everything. I don't even pay for where I live. Like, honestly, it's the Lord. And then just being like, okay, Lord, like, what about this guy that you stirred my heart for? And I've never had a good perception of men in general. My dad cheated on my mom and left us when I was 12, and just a lot of other things. And then when I was in college, I just decided that men were what was going to save me. And they became an idol in my life, and the Lord completely destroyed that. And so just feeling, just trying... to sort that out, and I'm up here, and this guy's in LA. And so then time passes, and I go down, and it's August of 2010, and I'm hanging out with him, and it's awesome. And then the 2 days later, he asks one of my good friends out on a date, and I'm like, what the, like, seriously, like, the Lord is faithful, but what about right freaking now? Like, and I'm like, man, like, Lord, I spent time in your presence, and I just feel like this is something that you put on my heart. And then just being like, I don't even know. And just saying, okay, Lord, like, it's yours. Like, there's such a freedom in that, and just laying everything before the Lord and just saying, okay, like, it's yours. You can have it all. And then about a month later, I ended up getting in contact with this guy in LA. We kind of have like a whole network, because my roommate is with Carpinteria. She moved up from Carpinteria, so I kind of have the LA connections. She has the Carp connection, especially with the youth, because this guy was the youth leader down there, so I end up texting him for that reason. And he gets back to me and says, how are you? And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like, since when do you care? Yeah. Right? You're all off dating some other girl. And so then we start talking, and come to find out he had taken that girl out on a date that weekend and asked if he could pursue her, and she kind of gave him a blank stare. And so he was like, well, guess that's an answer. Nope. Like, and just through prayer and through... everything, he started pursuing me in September. We started dating in November, and about 2 weeks ago, he asked me to marry him. And the past 2 weeks, I cannot tell you how difficult that they have been. And I might start to cry if I do. But just knowing that the Lord is faithful, and he will do what he has promised. And we can't exchange the truth for a lie. We just can't. Jesus paid too much for us to do that. So, I don't know, I just want you guys to realize just the splendor and the majesty of Christ, and just the cost and the price that was paid, and to just sit at his feet and know that he is faithful. And I would love to just pray for you guys before you leave. All right. Father, I thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, God, and just Lord, the story of the gospel, how amazing, God, that you even bring us into that, Lord. I just pray for each one of our hearts, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just reveal those dark areas of our hearts, God, those things, Lord, that are keeping us from proclaiming you as just our one thing that we ask for, Lord. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that your loving kindness would lead to repentance in those areas, God. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust you beyond our circumstances, beyond what we think is going on in our lives, God, but we would know that you are faithful, God. And I pray that we would proclaim your truth in our lives, God, that we would not exchange the truth of who you are for the lie, God, but that we would proclaim and radiate your glory and your majesty. You are so worthy of our praise, God. So I just pray for these women as they leave now, God, and just pray, Lord, that you would go before them as they leave, God, and God, that you just wouldn't let them alone, Lord, that they would just come to you and come to your feet, God, and Lord, that they would just say that you are the one thing, Lord. We love you, and we just want you to be glorified in our lives, God. We just ask these things in your son's name. Amen.